All right, what's going on? Welcome to Insight with Irv. You're frustrated because you aren't seeing progress or the results that you think you deserve. And so I want to address that here right now in this episode. Let's dive right into the first point, and that's this. You're probably not working on the right stuff. I remember when I was first building out the business that I have right now, which is the consulting Insight Inner Circle. And I remember talking to one of the guys that was helping me out with building everything out. And he mentioned, dude, I think that you're just working on the wrong stuff. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, your landing page is good. You guys are getting good deal flow. You have more leads than most people that I typically work with. I just think, you know, your offer is good. I just think that you need to start working on your sales team a little bit more. Okay, what do you mean by that? He said, well, let's review some calls. So we started reviewing some calls. And lo and behold, the way some of the guys are saying things wasn't the way that we wanted it delivered. The way that we were treating clients on the front end of what we were promising, we were either underselling it or overselling it. And that was just a couple of calls. And he says, you need to be QCing a little bit more, quality control. So I started QCing a little bit more. And lo and behold, sales started going up, right? And we pretty much doubled like the following month. And then I thought to myself, well, that, you know, made a heck of a lot more of a difference than what I was working on before. You know, hey, let me change the button here. Or, you know, what if I put out this type of content? Maybe it'll bring in more people. And it just made me realize, no, sometimes we need to be working on the things that's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck, or our biggest ROI, return on investment, or our biggest ROT, return on time. And so that was just like one metric that we looked at, which was, how's our sales team performing, and what's like, what are the conversations looking like? Second thing that we did was, apart from, okay, let's start role playing through some of the situations and scenarios that you guys are hearing. We also started playing around with, we have to repackage the offer on the front end, because again, it's been undersold for what it really is. And so at the time when we were selling it, it felt like it was a course, and it was more than a course. So it really graduated into a full-blown service. And so I thought to myself, you know, what can we do to really get this message across that it's a full-blown service? So we started creating what we call pillars within the script. We started catering it to the person that we're speaking to, depending on where they were coming in from. So this did two things. Number one is it made it feel like it was custom for the person. And number two, it also raised the value of the program all together, because it wasn't just a course, it's a full-blown service, it's a full-blown consulting. And so those are the two biggest things that I did that really kind of like pushed this thing into that next, what I say, stratosphere. And so work on the right things if you want to get the best results. Number two is you haven't given something long enough. Similar to what I was just mentioning with the sales team, sometimes it's flat out you haven't given something long enough. And I think it was easier for me to tweak the sales team because I had already done a bunch of cold calls in my previous career when I was selling real estate. And so for me, I don't get nervous when I'm speaking to someone, especially in sales, or confronting them to make a decision or to drop in on a cold call if I'm maybe speaking to a setter. Because if you think about it, setters, even though someone is opting in, you're kind of still taking the role of, it's kind of like a cold call because you're calling someone out of the norm, even though they opted in. And so sometimes whenever I'm listening to a call with my setters, I'm thinking, well, you kind of backed down when you said this, or you didn't remain in the leadership frame, right? And I understand that sometimes for some people, it's not as comfortable for them because it's new to them. And so I was having a conversation with my setter, one of them, this morning, and I told them, hey, it's not a matter of can you set an appointment or not. Like, you're good. Trust in your skills. You've gotten a lot better. He's been putting some work in, right? It's a matter of how good the set actually is. Like, can we help out this? Not can we help out this person or not? Is how qualified is the person that we're helping out? So I told him, you want to think in spectrums, because if you don't think in spectrums, what ends up happening is you just end up putting anyone on the calendar. You just end up saying, okay, well, that's good enough. And if you have to graduate from good enough. Yeah, when you're starting out, you know, you want to hit your numbers, but you want to ultimately start scaling the quality that you have, which I was having that conversation with him today, and he's just been on absolute fire. And so I told him, you've given this thing long enough. So he's been with me now for a couple of months. I said, your skills are on another level. So if you're watching this and if you're listening to this, well, Irv, how does this tie in with me? Flat out ask yourself, have you been sticking to your plan? Have you been the way that I have it written down here is, are you thinking in decades, planning in months, and executing in days? Like, that's the framework right now that I've been running through, because I'm realizing that a lot of people that are quote unquote your competitors, they're not thinking things in terms of planning things to be here for the next decade. Anyone can be here for the next 90 days. Look at your space. Look at your quote unquote competitors. Look at the quote unquote, the people that you are battling for the top four, right? Especially in the business world. I want you to name me someone that you enjoy their music 5 years ago and they don't have a single today. Now I want you to name me, and you know, or at least think to yourself, how many new artists are there that just came out this year that you're like, where the heck did this person come from? More often than not, what ends up happening is that those people aren't going to be in the game in the next year, next 5 years, the next 10 years. Same thing in the business world. And so when you blow up the screen, it's almost like when you're looking at the stock market and you blow it up far enough, you start to realize, okay, there's natural fluctuations in a market. Same thing with competitors in a space. Time is the biggest determining factor on if someone is a true player or if they've been faking it till they make it. 2020, 2021, 2022, there was a lot of PPP money in the market. There was a lot of people running scams. There were a lot of people with money that was pumped into the market going to people that didn't work to get it. 2023, I'm starting to see a lot of people reverse or trying to reverse their engineer their businesses. I'm starting to see a lot of people starting to kind of backpedal on some of their strategies and what they're posting online. I'm seeing it. I'm just quiet because I'm not the type of guy that's going to call people out, but I do see that. And if I see that, I know that everyone else is noticing the same thing that we are. So you want to make sure that you give something a long enough time and that you're operating in a long time horizon. And number three is you're measuring the wrong things with the wrongs, with the wrong expectations. I want to close it out with this. It's going to be a quick pod today. When we're measuring, we want to measure stuff that actually matters in our life, right? So if you're measuring the stats on your webpage, okay, why is that important? Well, it lets us know how good our content is. Okay, cool. If we're measuring how many calls it takes to make a sale, do I want to measure that? Yeah, why? It lets me know, one, the quality of the people coming in. And number two, it lets me know the strength of the salesperson that I have on the back end, the consultant. Okay, cool. But usually when I'm talking to a small business owner in my program, I'll just flat out ask them, like, what are your numbers? Because we help them get business credit, right? So that's essentially what we do. If you didn't know, that's essentially what our offer is. So, hey, how much revenue are you driving into your business right now? I don't know that. I haven't checked. Okay, cool. What are your expenses? I don't know that. I haven't checked that. Okay. How long have you had this LLC open? I'd have to check. Okay. How many credit cards do you have on the personal side? I don't know that. I have to check. And so what are you doing this entire time? Like, what exactly are you tracking? These are things that you want to have just at a snap of a finger. And so oftentimes when we're tracking things in our business, we're tracking things that don't necessarily matter. And so we have these expectations, since we're tracking the wrong things, that we need to get this result, when really you were just looking at the incorrect metric altogether. So pay attention to what you're tracking. And if you don't know what you need to be looking at, I recommend, because this is going to be kind of like a blanket statement if I don't say it like this, so I'm going to say it like this. You want to find people in your industry, preferably people who are ahead of you, and you want to take a look at what they're paying attention to. Because if I'm running a sales floor, that's going to be totally different from someone who's building a videography company. Me and my videographer were talking about this the other day. He obviously looks at, obviously business is business, but he does want to look at people that are in his space of how they're scaling their videography space, how they're editing, what's in style, what's out of style. Is there a better color grade? Is there another way that I can make maybe acquire more customers? Or is there a faster way to edit? Every little edge that he can get that's going to make him a stronger videographer and that's going to raise his value in the marketplace. So maybe what we're doing over here on the sales side, he may not necessarily get as much value from, which is why if I'm telling him, well, how many calls are you making a day to get new customers? That's not his game, right? So same thing with you. Watch the people in your space, connect with them and see, hey, like, what are the metrics that you're looking at? because I think I'm tracking the wrong stuff because I'm not getting the progress that I want. If you found value in this content, consider hitting the subscribe button down below and join us here every week that we're dropping new episodes. Let us know down below in the comments, or if you're listening on Spotify in the Q&A section, what you would like to hear next. We're always open to suggestions so that we can keep the content fresh and clean and coming your way. The only ask that we have is that you consider leaving us a 5-star review and push this out to anyone that you think is going to find value in it by hitting that share button down below. But other than that, I appreciate you for tuning in. Until next time, everyone, I will see you in the next episode.